This intro story comes out of Washington Post. Jesus, my boom's just moving away from me. It's just slowly just shifting upwards. You gonna stay still? All right, it's behaving itself. Sit. Sit, Mike Boom. All right, Sydney Page wrote this, and it comes out of the Washington Post. The noise of someone chomping on chips can be irritating, especially if it's directly in your ear on, say, a voice chat or a Zoom call. Voices and crunching are amplified when people using headsets, which are often worn by gamers, many of whom spend hours at a time playing multiplayer video games. So the chip brand Doritos created Doritos Silent, a crunch-canceling software that removes the sound of chewing from voice chats, Zoom, or any calls that use headphones. But it was really created for gamers. It won't work on anything that it works on anything that accepts a microphone, said Dylan Fushbaugh, lead developer at Brooklyn-based Smooth Technology, which worked with Doritos to create the free app that launched earlier this month. It can be used on any PC, and the company says it will eventually be expanded to other devices. Fushbaugh has been a gamer for about 20 years, and he said he is familiar with the annoyance of fellow gamers chewing loudly on chips. Crunch is one of the most distracting features that could throw someone off their game, said Mustafa Shamseldon, chief marketing officer of International Foods at PepsiCo, which owns Doritos. Doritos surveyed more than 3,000 people, including in China, India, Portugal, Britain, and the United States, and found that gamers like to snack while playing, but also they think the sounds of other people snacking is distracting. Of the 200 people surveyed in the United States, 90% snacked while gaming, and the majority said chips make the most bothersome noise when another gamer is eating them. In 2018, the former chief executive of PepsiCo claimed that Doritos was developing a chip for women, which was intended to be a low-crunch alternative with reduced orange finger dust. There was backlash online, and PepsiCo later said that it was a misunderstanding and that it was not, in fact, releasing a specific Doritos product for women.
Oh, God.
There was a lot in that article there, yeah. Anthony, but crunch-canceling app for your phone? You're already downloading this, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm just glad that the crunch culture that is ruined the video game industry is finally being addressed. This was what we needed, right? This was the problem, wasn't it? Like, crunch culture? It was ruining the video games industry.
Yeah, is this what Jason Schreier keeps talking about, crunch culture?
Yeah, it's just all those Naughty Dog employees were just eating Doritos, and it's like, they should have been programming. That was the problem. It's just the things brands will do for, like, the association is so funny to me. Just, yeah, it's like, you know, Doritos, your video games, which I personally have never gotten. I'm a bit of a clean freak when it comes to, like, food, germ, and dust. So I have never understood, like, yeah, I'm going to have a Dorito and then I'm going to put my hands directly on my gaming peripheral. It's like, no, it's going to take forever to clean. They're already dirty in general. Like, they get dirty from just, like, sweat and other gross shit that we do. But, like, just Cheeto dust or Dorito dust just directly on it. Like, ugh, no.
Yes. Oh, thank you so much, Anthony. Like, reading this, a couple of things stood out to me. Like, obviously that they were planning on making a chip for women.
Yeah, that's...
holy shit.
That's a
choice. I don't know why, but I'm picturing them... the Doritos, for some reason, is on a southern plantation in America. And they're just there like, oh, we need to make a Doritos for the more tender of the sexes.
For the more...
their hands are a bit daintier. They can't handle the crunch. And they...
We need a more flimsy chip.
It's fucking wild. Like, you know, that idea was thought of in a boardroom full of men. That is for sure. It was wild to me that out of 200 people surveyed in America, 90% snack while eat. I'm like you, Anthony. I'd never, ever... snack while eat. Oh my God.
Eating, that's a different problem.
Yeah, I think most people do that. Jesus Christ. I don't ever snack while I play games. Ever. Ever. Yeah. No. And for those same reasons that you mentioned, like, particularly things that you would snack on are things like chips or peanuts, all things that get your hands salty and oily or covered in that bloody flavor dust. I can't believe that many people do it, especially dual senses are the worst. They've got that sort of leather back on it, that sort of white leather back that just absorbs everything. My DualSense Edge, the back part of it is now like a slightly different color to the rest of it. And I'm washing my hands before I play games and stuff because I'm trying to keep my equipment nice and neat and tidy.
Exactly. I'll never understand it till the day I die. It's just people being like, yep, I'm just, especially, it's even worse for, I think, keyboard users where it's like, it's going to get between the keys. It's going to make everything gunked up at the bottom.
Yeah. 100%. Now, I hope they make this app for PlayStation 5 because I want to get Hunter to download this one because I know he does like to get the odd... He doesn't do it often, but he does like to get the odd bag of chips. I don't know what it is. It's since I've started doing the podcast, if I ever hear in like headphones someone eating, it just... like destroys me to my very core. I don't know what it is, but for me, I think something that would be more useful, especially for playing Baldur's Gate 3, if they could get some fap cancelling. You know what I mean? Get rid of that noise. Just because I'm so overexcited playing Baldur's Gate 3 the entire time. I'd be thankful for that.
Yeah, the group jerk sessions, they do get a bit distracting.
Baldur's Gate 3, now with jiggly dick physics. Hello! Welcome to News to Reviews, your place to be for gaming news stories and also your place to be for impressions on the latest games coming out each and every week. My name is Zach and I'm here with my guest and co-host.
Yes.
Anthony from What Do You Think About This? Hey man, how's it going?
Very good. Yes, it's official. I've done it. I'm the guest and the co-host. No one can stop me now. I'm unstoppable. It's good to be on. Love doing an episode about the gaming news and what we think about games and all that fun stuff.
Oh yes, and look, I'll be real with you from the start. It's not like a really big week of gaming news. It's very, very chill. But it's also probably one of the funnest weeks of gaming news we have because holy shit, like I feel like two of the stories here we're going to talk about in the news could have just as easily been intro stories as well too. Holy shit, I'm so excited to get into it. But yeah, so excited to have you on. Anthony, remind the peeps where they can find your wonderful podcast, which you've recorded an episode of.
Yes.
I'm eagerly anticipating the release.
Hopefully we'll be out next week. I've done most of the editing. The last hour is probably going to be the hardest part, but we'll get that done. But yeah, you can find the podcast over on the What Do You Think About This? Is the name of the podcast. You can find it where all good podcasts are sold. Your Spotify, your Amazon, your Apple. You can also find us on Twitter before it burns down at WDYTATpod. You can ask us, you can hit us up for any questions or you can, you know, just if you want to be on our show, let us know. If you want us to be on your show, let us know. We're always open.
Yeah, I've been on their show multiple times. It's always a really good time. I recommend hitting him up for sure. What's this upcoming episode that you're editing going to be about?
We're discussing the superhero movies of 2023 and how everything's changing. Because the tides, they are returning on superhero movies, methinks.
Yeah, I think you're spot on with that one. I've not been anywhere near as interested in Marvel films as what I used to be before Thanos had his head chopped off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, dearie me. Anyway, but also, if you check the description down below, not only will you find all of Anthony's links to his wonderful podcast and his socials, Actually, now you won't find any Movember stuffs because Movember's over. No. We're recording this on the 3rd of December. So, yeah, Movember finished during the week last week. And I think, I can't remember, but I'm pretty sure last time we recorded, we were all sitting at 710. And I was unsure whether or not we were going to reach our goal of $1,000. But yeah, people rallied throughout. There was only like 3 or 4 days left to go. People rallied and we beat the $1,000 target. We're now sitting at $1,035. And I honestly didn't think we were going to get there this year. I'm just overjoyed that people have just been so generous once again. We had an anonymous donation of $100. They said, a human who I know to be the best listener. So I've got some ideas of who it might be, but obviously they made it anonymous, so I'm not gonna name them and, well, not shame them, the opposite of shame them here. But yeah, also big shout out to my brother who donated $50, Wade. My Arnie Koo, who also donated $50. And then you yourself, Anthony, when we were at 910, got us over the line by donating $100. And yeah, I know I've thanked you multiple times already, but like it's such a generous donation. You know, I'm thankful for people giving any amount, but holy shit, Anthony. Thanks so much for your big dono.
Yeah, as I've said before, it's all right. I'm always happy to give money to a good cause. And yeah, you've done such good work, you know, promoting self-care and self-help and, you know, promoting, you know, the Movember, I don't know what you call it, like just movement? I'm not sure.
the Movember cause, I guess.
Movember cause, I guess, yes. Throughout, you know, not only this year, but previous years as well. It's just, yeah, it's very important for people to, you know, get the help they need and any way that I can help, even if it is just throwing money at a pile. It's like, I will do whatever I can.
Well, thanks, Anthony. It's all thanks to people like you who dig deep and donate of any amount that helps me get to that goal. So it's very much, very, very much appreciated. And yeah, people like you that make me want to keep doing this as well. So I'm probably going to do it again next year. And yeah, of course, I've got to thank my great friend Amber, who also donated $25 there as well too, getting us up to 1,035. So yeah, since last year now, that means that we've raised more than 2,400 for men's mental health, suicide prevention, testicular and prostate cancer. And that's just a really fucking good thing and definitely made it worth having that really, really ugly Riddler moustache that I had this month.
You were questioning your choices, some might say.
Yes, riddle me this. Why would you ever do that to yourself? Yes. Look, I think I will do it again next year because I feel like it was a good way to motivate people and I just only have to suffer for a month. Big shout out to my wonderful, supportive girlfriend, Mira, who not only had to look at me the whole month, which was bad enough as it is, but also like took all the photos for me as well too, was there for me every step of the way. But yeah, very happy with how Movember went this year, but I'm happy as well to get stuck into the gaming news. You know, once again, big thanks to everyone who donated. If you're in Australia and your mental health is not doing too good at the moment, if you go see your GP, you can get a referral to get 10 sessions with a psychologist. Well, you have 10 sessions a year. I think you have to go back to your GP to get your other 5, but you have 10 sessions a year. I utilize them and I find it incredibly helpful. Be sure to utilize it if you can. If you're not in Australia, reach out to a friend or a family member talk to your local hospitals and stuff and see what else is available.
Anyway.
All right. Let's talk about some gaming news. So, as I mentioned, it's a fun week this week. Holy shit. This one really, really tickled me. It is just, it's one of those stories that I have to sit there and try and put myself in the shoes of the marketing person who thought this was a good idea. And it's sometimes it's really hard to do. And this is one of those situations where I just cannot see why anyone would think that this was a good idea. So basically, I mentioned last week on the show that Starfield's reviews on Steam have now fallen into the mix, which is not great for a big AAA title, specifically from what is supposed to be a developer of such a pedigree as Bethesda. And it seems that Bethesda have decided to start responding to these negative Steam reviews. So they appear to be canned responses for the most part, but they'll all feature different parts of each canned response depending on what the criticisms were in the review. But they're responding to people who are some of them are just being brutal and just like saying real brief shit, like just midfield or just like boring, or play Cyberpunk instead, and they're bothering to respond to those ones. This is a response to a review that was that just called it midfield and gave it a negative review. "We are sorry to hear that you did not enjoy your time in Starfield. Our team is constantly working to ensure that Starfield is a fun and polished experience. You can take time to explore various planets for resources and items. You can also break the law by smuggling and selling contraband, build your own outposts and starships, and customize them to your enjoyment, exploration, and role-playing. There are many things to do and explore. There are so many layers to Starfield that you will find things you never knew were possible after playing for hundreds of hours. Even after completing the main story, your adventure doesn't end. You can continue into New Game Plus, blah, blah, blah." That was just a response to just midfield. So, ones like that, I don't know, it feels to me like maybe they're just they're just looking at this as a way to market the game further or something, which is insanity to me. One of the responses to someone saying that it was boring and there was not much to do on the planets: "We appreciate you taking your time to provide your review and are sorry to hear that you did not enjoy your time in Starfield. If you feel that things are getting boring, there's so much more to do than just the main mission. Some of Starfield's planets are meant to be empty by design, but that's not boring. When the astronauts went to the moon, there was nothing there. They certainly weren't bored." "The intention of Starfield's exploration is to evoke a feeling of smallness in players and make you feel overwhelmed."
No.
Oh, dearie me. I've got more of their reviews here to talk about as well, too. But, like, so far, what are your thoughts here, Anthony, on Bethesda employees, like, I'm guessing in their marketing or customer service or customer relations, going in and responding to all these negative reviews?
It's, on the one hand, I'm glad they didn't do like what we often see with companies where they'll do the snarky Twitter or social media approach to this. I know they wouldn't. I guess that, no, they might. Who knows? I guess I'm glad they didn't do that. But it does come off very, it is cringy. It's just cringy just seeing a company just be like, it reeks of, "Come on, guys, we tried our hardest, please. We swear it's a good game. Just give it a go, would you?" It's like, come on, man, just let it go. I don't know.
It does feel like that. Like, they should be above this. They're like, if they were only responding to the well-thought-out reviews where they're going into detail.
Yeah.
But the ones where it's clearly just like, they're like, fuck this game.
Yeah.
The ones where they simply just say midfield and it's a negative review.
Yeah.
Why are you responding to that? It just looks so petty. And comments like, "Oh, when the astronauts were on the moon, they weren't bored, were they?"
Yeah, I forget who said it. Someone in either, I don't know where I saw this comment, but it's like the kid who prepares a three-page essay to someone just saying, whatever.
Yeah, 100%.
Why are you following up a one-word response with a two-page essay? It's just, at that point, yeah, just ignore that one. But yeah, it's like even ones where it's like, the astronauts on the moon. What are you talking about? What does that have to do with anything?
I love that comment because it is just so like you know, you say that, and like if you don't put any logic into that at all, if you do not think about that critically at all, you think, oh yeah, that's true, you know, booted space is pretty exciting. But as soon as you think, oh, they actually went to the fucking moon, as opposed to us just sitting in a chair looking at a screen where you're on the moon, of course it's going to be exciting to be on the actual fucking moon. It's a very, very different experience. Holy fuck. I'm sure Neil Armstrong would have got bored playing Starfield and going to the moon as well too. It's not the same.
It doesn't hit the same.
You know what I love as well too? There was another review where basically they try to point people towards the Discord. So if you feel things are getting boring, there's so much more to do than just the main mission. So another part of that canned response. There are many side missions where you can learn more about the people and the story of Starfield. You can take time to explore various planets for resources and items, break the law by smuggling and selling contraband, build your own outpost, blah, blah, blah. There are many things to do, and you can visit our Discord to further ideas from other players. And I love that. I saw a tweet from someone, and apologies, I can't remember who it was from, but it just reeks of, oh, we're not sure how this game is fun or how to make this game fun, but, you know, if you guys all put your heads together, you can probably figure out how to have fun with it. Holy shit. It's so embarrassing.
It is that thing of like, you guys figure it out.
It reminds me of when No Man's Sky came out, and it's like, oh, you tell your own story. It's like, okay, you're just telling us you don't have an interesting story to tell. It's not quite that bad, but oh my god. I just absolutely love this. This is such a bad look for Bethesda. All the stories that have come out from this, and apparently it's like this happens more than what we'd think. And I'd recommend people, if you have Steam, go and have a look at these reviews, because yeah, all the more popular reviews they've responded to, and it's just, it's gold. It's awful. It's cringeworthy, and it's absolute gold. Much like this next video game, except I probably wouldn't say it's gold. It's just looks awful and cringeworthy. So just this year has been such a weird year and such a mixed year, in that we've had some of the best video games ever made and some of the best games across every gaming genre, but we've also had some of the fucking worst, like Balan Wonderworld level games, but multiple in the one year. Yeah. We've already had King Kong, Skull Island, or whatever it was called.
Yeah.
Gollum was an absolute disaster. Redfall flopped a lot. There's just been so many, but like Gollum and like King Kong, this one follows from a very popular IP. We had the release this week of The Walking Dead Destinies, and I know I don't normally bring up games just because they have bad reviews, like unless we're talking about them and impressions, but people, please, I know this is not a visual medium, this podcast, but do yourself a favor, if you're driving, pull over and google The Walking Dead Destinies and just watch cutscenes and just look at some images. It looks fucking atrocious, and IGN gave it a 2 out of 10. And I just got this one excerpt from Tariq Musa, which really sums up the game well, I think. Okay. Zombies can be fun to mow down, but they also run the risk of being one of the least interesting monster enemy types around, a slow, lumbering, decaying husk that's better off buried than occupying our attention. If nothing else, The Walking Dead Destinies, based off the otherwise fantastic early seasons of the TV show, succeeds in embodying all their worst qualities.
Ooh.
In its ugly, shuffling attempts to stand tall, even while looking like rotting husk of a game from the Xbox 360 days, Destinies deserves neither your attention nor access to your wallet, and we would be better off if this boring mess had stayed buried in the past, from which it seems to have exhumed its broken mechanics.
damn, someone broke out his thesaurus today.
Well, it earns a small amount of credit for at least attempting to play with plots that diverge from the TV show. Little else is done to elevate it above the muck of banal design, awful character models, and the laughable sense that this is barely a rough draft of a game. Anthony, I believe you've seen some screenshots and maybe even like a couple of the clips from The Walking Dead Destinies. What are your thoughts? Do you agree with this IGN reviewer?
Oh, yeah. No, this is a... and relevant too. Stop. They're already dead. Like, the brutality. But it's so accurate and fair because... What the fuck is this game? It's I made a joke, I think, when you showed me the cutscene where it was basically just still images. I think I said, was it when you spend all your money on a license and then you remember you have to make a game? Because like, where's the budget? There are like indie fan made games with like infinitely better like. Everything than this. I don't understand what happened. It's almost fascinating in how bad it is. It needs to be studied. It needs to be examined to go, what went wrong? Where did they fuck up? Because how do you do this in a... Not that you can't make bad licensed games anymore, but I feel like I thought we were almost beyond that. Although, yeah, this year actually is the perfect example of no, we're not. Because three of the worst games this year are licensed property games. Gollum, yeah. Kong, and The Walking Dead. Probably the worst games of the year, all licensed. I don't know how companies can spend all their money getting a big property and then not actually put the money in to make a good game.
I am signed up to the EB Games newsletter, so you know whenever there's new games coming out or whatever, they send you through the marketing and stuff for that. And they sent out a full email just for The Walking Dead Destinies, which is wild. Ooh. To me, because this is after the IGN review came out and everything. And they have just an image showing every single character from the show with their names below them. And every one of them looks just wrong. They don't look right whatsoever. And it's not even like it felt like they were going for a different take on the character and they didn't have the rights to use the person's image. It just looked like they couldn't get it right.
Yeah.
Like they were trying to get as close as they could and they couldn't. Like, holy shit. Rick is probably the worst of them, I think. Yeah. If not Merv. They both look so different to their TV characters and just look a bit wrong in general.
Yeah, I made, again, another joke I made when I looked at the poster, or not poster, but the game art. I said, did they not get the rights to all the actors? Because I forget the name of the actor, but the guy who plays Daryl Dixon in The Walking Dead, he looks not pretty good, close. But he looks like the guy. He looks like that actor. Everyone else, it looks like you ran it through, you know what it is? It's like if someone asked an AI generator to make the actor and they're just like, all right, that's, I guess, but no, you're missing a lot of details and you've added details where they weren't there before. And this is just another thing. I mentioned the game art. I swear the models and the appearance on the game art is different to the pictures that you showed us. So it's like, so it wasn't even consistent on the fucking... thing. The art isn't consistent. I swear Rick looks different on the box art or the game art than he does the in-game model. He looks like a different person. What the fuck is happening?
Oh my god. No, we're recording our News to Reviews Game Awards Part 4 in a couple of weeks' time, and this year's probably got the most stacked lame of the year category that we've ever had.
Yeah, remember when Redfall was looking like a good contender? Like, no.
Oh, yeah.
Redfall's an actual game.
Like, comparatively to those three others we talked about, Redfall's like a decent video game.
Yeah, it's like a game. It's an actual game that works.
Yeah, these other games wish they could be Redfall. Holy shit. It's great. And I recommend, checking out some of those cinematics because the voice acting is pretty rough. Ooh. Like, there was one thing of Rick yelling. So, like, it was meant to be a really emotional moment. It's just like, it's so funny. It's really, really funny. And just the stills of the weird-looking faces. It's just, it's so good. And I think you're right, Anthony. I think the best way to describe this is that it looks like it was probably made by an AI. And the fighting in it looks absolutely terrible and janky as well. But speaking of fighting, it's time for a return of a segment we haven't had in a while. It's time for Anthony's Fighting Game Corner. Put him up! Put him up! Put him up!
Yes, it's the return of a fighting game corner. Unfortunately, we're not coming with good news about a fighting game. Oh, no.
Oh, them's fighting words.
Yes, a little. So, we saw on the 1st of December, Capcom dropped their most recent update for Street Fighter. The update came with new costumes for all 18 of the base roster. New art for the versus screen, so you can choose when you're playing online to have a different bit of art pop up when you fight someone. And you now have, admittedly, I think this is a pretty cool feature, you have the option to customize what outfit your opponent wears when you fight them online. So if you're playing someone online and you keep seeing the same, no one's using a special costume or they're all using the same costume and you're sick of seeing it, you can now be like, I want to put Ryu in costume 2, color 5. And every Ryu will look that way now.
Okay. Can you randomize that as well so that it changes every time? Only pick one?
I haven't actually given it like a proper look around to see what's the go because it doesn't really bother me that much. But I'm not sure. Maybe it does. It'd be cool if it does. I think it is a very neat feature and it adds to the how the fuck is this game running so well component of this game again where it's you can have. Everyone can have completely different stages, completely different music, and now completely different costumes on their characters, all running at the same time with no issues. I don't understand how this game runs so well online, but... Ugh.
Well, I'm guessing they don't do dynamic stage-based stuff then, right? Like, you're not...
No. You won't have anything like your Injustice or anything, no.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Without doing that, that makes sense to me. But yeah, how they make that run smoothly. I wonder if that causes confusion too, if someone says, I beat this person in a fight, and then you look at it and they both have different looking characters and they're on different stages even though... Anyway, yeah. Whatever.
It's one
cool
of those
idea though. Like, I love that. Like the idea, I've never thought of being able to customize your enemies.
Yeah,
cool
there's the closest we've had is in Tekken. You can do it the other way, where if your opponent has a custom outfit or a custom bit of armor or whatever, you can equip something that says, no, you don't have that custom bit, which is, I think, it's worse. It's the other way, where it's your opponent can force you not to do that.
Okay.
But the addition of the new costumes and the versus screen art comes with the caveat of Capcom scummy money shit. So the costumes cost what's called fighter coins, so it's your Fortnite bucks. It's your Fortnite bucks.
Yeah, itchy and scratchy money.
Itchy
Fuck
and scratchy
me.
Money. It's funner. It's funner. Ugh, so they cost 300 fighter coins for each costume and 100 fighter coins for the art stuff. Now, out of context, that's like, oh, how bad is that? The lowest you can buy for fighter coins, and it's that scummy video game thing of, oh, the thing you want costs 300. The lowest you can buy is 250. You were right there. You could have saved everyone a little bit of a headache, but you didn't because you're right now. And getting to that. So it costs, at least in Australian dollars, I'm not going to worry about US dollars because I'm not messing around with that right now. But in Australian dollars, it costs $7.55 for the 250 coin option. So each costume, for per character, keep in mind, and we've got 18 characters to work with, is costing over $8. I think I've estimated it's about $8.50 to $9 per character. So...
And these are just costumes, right? Not full characters, just a costume for a character.
The full characters, I don't know how much they cost because I bought the, you know, season pass.
Yeah.
So I actually don't know how, maybe it's worse, I don't know. But at least with a full character, it's a full character. So if that costs me $10, I'm not going to complain too much.
Of course, you're getting like new shit. It's not just cosmetic, yeah.
Exactly. But yeah, so, So the lowest you can buy is 250 coins for $7.55. The highest you can buy is 2,750 fighter coins for $75.95 Australian.
Okay.
So if you want to buy all 18 costumes, you'd need to buy that 2,750 option twice. You would have to spend $151.90 Australian to get all the new costumes. On top of the, I think, $100-something this game costs at launch.
Don't they normally have some kind of pass where you can just, like, buy all the costumes in a big bundle? No?
Not yet, anyway. Maybe they'll release it at the end of the first year of content, but they have not announced anything. They've said, this is how you get the costumes now. It is 300 fighter coins. That is it. No news of it's going to be available later for a cheaper price. It's going to be available at the end of year one. As far as I'm aware, nothing. And if you want the versus screen art, which let's say you do, that's going to run you an extra $53. So if you want all the new content for this new release of content on December 1st, it'll run you, in Australian dollars, $205.80 on top of the game itself.
Holy shit. And that's not even all the content you can buy, really, too, because there's also the season pass where you get all the new characters. How much is that?
That, if you want the regular season pass, I think it's something like $40. That's just the new characters. If you want the ultimate pass, which comes with the new characters and their special costumes and and some other additional stuff that's going to come out, it runs you about $70.
Holy shit.
Yeah, let's say I hypothetically wanted to pick this up, I would have spent about $380 on this game this year because I bought the ultimate pass.
Yeah, so if you want to get everything, it's probably these days it's probably around $100 still to buy Street Fighter VI, I'm guessing.
Yeah, it was on sale for Black Friday, but let's ignore that.
It was probably only down to like 70 or something, right? Probably didn't get that cheap.
Yeah, it was like a 33 discount. So yeah, probably like $30 off or something. So still steep.
Yeah. So, holy shit, you could spend around $100 on the game, Australian, then spend $70 to make sure you get the new characters and all their new stuff. That's $170. Then you can add on another $150 just for the costumes, and then what, another $50 on top of that? So another $200.
Just for like art screen stuff, just for like something that'll flash quickly on your opponent.
Wow, that is just gross. Like the idea that you can pay $170 and not be getting every single thing that is available in the game. If this was a free-to-play game, I'd be like, yeah, sure, fuck it. Whatever, who cares? But I absolutely hate this, particularly with the amount of coins that you're able to buy. It's that psychological thing that not only is it you're not going to have enough coins to buy it outright with that one, you're always going to have coins left over. And so you get that sunk cost fallacy of, oh, I've already got like 100 coins sitting there. I'll just buy another 250 pack and then I can get the next skin. But you're always going to have that little bit less left. So it's always going to pull you back in that little bit more. And it's just so scummy. I don't like seeing this stuff in free-to-play stuff. It just feels icky and psychologically manipulative. But especially in a full-price game, It is just really, really gross. And I feel like for some reason, sports games and fighting games have been the ones where companies have just been able to go fucking haywire. And for the most part, no one really complains all that much. But it's good to see there's been at least a little bit of a backlash to this one, because you're not the only person I've seen speaking about this.
It's been pretty notorious among the community, mainly because it's been 6 months, and this is the first bit of, not new content, because we've got new characters, but let's say new content for the original characters. This is the first new content they've got in 6 months, and it's just, hey, fork over another whole game's worth of money for us, and you can get it. And keep in mind, this is also on top of the... There was an earlier controversy in the year where there was a TMNT crossover costume thing going on in Street Fighter VI, which everyone was all like, oh, that sounds great, cool, I get to dress up like... It was only for your story mode character or your online lobby character, but you could dress them up as, you know, Donatello, Michelangelo, Raphael, awesome. Leonardo, whatever you want. So you could dress them up as that, and that was pretty cool. Unfortunately, these turtle skins cost even more than the than the new costumes for the main characters cost. These ran you 750 fighter coins. These are like $20 skins. I think it cost 80 in Australian, again, because not going to mess around with US currency, but in Australia it was about $84 if you wanted all four turtle skins. It's about $21 each.
Fucking Christ. And that is wild to think. And to think they're not even... There's a bundle for them. Like, who wants just one turtle? Like, I know we all have our favourites, but, you know, if you're getting turtles, you want to get the boys together, you know? Eat some pizza.
Yeah, and that's not even including, like, it's small stuff, but it's like, hey, do you want, like, these art splash things or bonus stickers or whatever for your character? That ran you an extra $60 as well. So, again... If you want all the content in Street Fighter VI at this point, I pray that you're a millionaire, because you've got to have spent thousands of dollars on this game, I swear, because they just keep releasing all this small content shit that's not... It's so expensive. I really do hope Capcom sees the backlash, especially from this release. I thought they'd learned their lesson with the Turtles thing. I really thought they did. Like, that I at least can say, well, maybe it's not their fault. Maybe the license to get the turtles was very expensive, and they're like, we've got to make our money back somehow. I don't agree with it, but at least I can kind of understand it. These are your own characters. You don't have to pay someone else to license these. Why is it so expensive? And I am very disappointed, because this was, at the time, and up until very recently, my game of the year. And it's just... It has fallen very far, unfortunately, just due to these two events where it's... I don't understand what their logic is. It's taking what is a great game and just being... and just forcing your players to have to spend so much money to just enjoy the content in the game. And it just... I'm not a fan of it.
Look, I think we were talking about this just before the recording, how... Could you imagine if Larian decided they were going to start selling items in Baldur's Gate 3? They would make so much fucking money. Developers in these kinds of situations are basically just sitting there, you know, earning money with just this fucking giant pile of gold just behind a door that they all can just access if they want it. But it's only the good ones that don't, that just stick with what they're doing and stick with working on the game, like Larian. And it really sucks to see. They know exactly what they're doing here. And one of the other things that pisses me off about this has all been brought in later on after the game's release too. So reviews are already out. If you look at the reviews for Street Fighter VI, you're going to see like glowing reviews across the board. Whereas I feel like if you had this in there, that definitely would have, might not have impacted it that much, but it definitely would have had some kind of impact on Street Fighter VI review scores. So yeah, very disappointing, very scummy. And, yeah, it definitely puts a bad taste in your mouth for what was such an excellent fighter game. I feel bad for you, Anthony. Like, I don't see...
Yeah.
I'd feel like if Insomniac all of a sudden started selling us the skins in Spider-Man instead of just giving them to us through rewarding us for playing the game, I would feel exactly how you feel right now. I'd be so disappointed and frustrated that they're doing that to my baby. Mm. Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely.
Ah, well.
Yep. They're just saying, they're seeing what Warner Brothers does with the Injustice games and the Mortal Kombat games.
Yeah.
And they're way more egregious. Like, be thankful they're not selling you, like, you know, a fucking headband for one of the characters, you know what I mean? Or knee pads for one of the characters. Like, they get really granular with it in the...
they had some really scummy shit going on with Mortal Kombat 1. There was something like a $20 fatality or something like that. I don't know. Like, yeah. It was ridiculous.
Selling you an animation for a game. Selling you a good animation, mind you. They're always cool, but like, a lot goes into them. But the idea that you have to pay for that is wild. It's like when we heard Callisto Protocol was going to have some death animations held behind the season pass. Oh, gross. Video game companies be doing some bad shit. But something that isn't bad shit, something that's actually seems pretty consumer friendly, if you ask me, is Game Pass. And we finally know the games that are coming to Game Pass throughout December. So recording this on December 3rd. So these first two games are already available to play now on cloud console and PC. We have Spirit of the North and SteamWorld Build, both available already. We have Clone Drone in the Danger Zone, coming to cloud, PC, and console December 5th. Rise of the Tomb Raider is coming to cloud, console, and PC also December 5th. Also on December 5th, we have While the Iron's Hot, also coming to cloud, console, and PC. Also on December 5th, we have World War Z Aftermath, also coming to all of those platforms. Then finally, December 7th, also coming to all the platforms, we have Goat Simulator 3. And then we have Against the Storm on December 8th coming to PC only. We have Tin Hearts coming to cloud console and PC December 12th. And Far Cry 6 coming to cloud console and PC December 14th. Anthony, any of those titles stand out to you?
There is one that does, but unfortunately I'm pretty sure I already have this, which is Rise of the Tomb Raider. Ooh. I've heard very good things about the recent Tomb Raider. I guess, is it trilogy? Now, I think there's three games in that like recent set. Mm. But I've heard very good things about those games, and you know, getting a game like that for free, along with all these other, admittedly I don't know how good some of these are, but there's some pretty extensive games on that list. So yeah, it's a good month for Game Pass, as it often is.
Yeah, it was funny because I was looking when I was preparing the doc for the episode, I was looking up the games coming to Game Pass, and earlier in the week they hadn't even announced these yet. Like I guess technically it was still November, but I was looking it up and all they'd announced was SteamWorld Build and Spirit of the North. But it was finally this weekend we got all of these. So I was thinking, oh shit, December's looking to be pretty bare for Game Pass, but no, they're coming. They're striking while the iron's hot. That's one of the games. But yeah, I'm there with you. The ones that I'd be pointing to people to check out would be Rise of the Tomb Raider. Fucking fantastic game. Probably my favorite of the trilogy. That's the second one, right?
I think so.
Yeah, because the other one's just called like Tomb Raider something or other. And then the next one's Rise of the Tomb Raider. And then the next one's Shadow of the Tomb Raider. I think that
sounds right.
But anyway, yeah, fantastic game. It's very similar to Uncharted, except a lot more brutal in the combat, and there's things like crafting, and the world design's a lot more like God of War, whereas you have all these different branching paths, and you can go back and re-explore areas, unlike Uncharted, which is quite linear. Goat Simulator 3, if you want a fun time just fucking around with friends and finding out, Goat Simulator 3 was one of the best times I had last year. I had so much fun. Lockie and I played through that together. Like, there is like some kind of main thrust of a thing that you do throughout the game. And we had so much fun. Just every corner's packed with wacky references. The physics shit is all completely broken and super fun to fuck around with. It's basically just a meme of a game, really. Like, the game opens up with you waking up on the back of a cart, and then and someone's just there going, oh, you're finally awake. And it's obviously referencing the start of Skyrim, except you've got, like, this fucking goat sitting across from you, just, like, staring you dead-eyed. It's so fucking good. It was such a good game. And I got the platinum for that one on PlayStation. It was a super chill platinum and just... so much fun. Far Cry 6, if you want to play a Far Cry game, it is one of those, and it's fine. I'm currently doing the PS4 version platinum, and I'm nearly done. I've only got 2 trophies left to go. One of them is going to take a minute because you have to. There's an in-game, well, a real-world timer in order to be able to get it. So, you have to, like, defeat 3 insurgency leaders, and they only come around every few days. So, you have to keep coming back in and playing. It's super fucking annoying. But the other one I got to get is capturing a base with a co-op partner, which there is no one playing the PS4 version of Far Cry 6 right now. So, if you have Far Cry 6, even if you have the PS5 version, I think there is cross-generation play. But yeah, if you have Far Cry 6 and you want to help me get that trophy, should only take 5 minutes and you're helping me get a platinum, and I'll give you a virtual high five. Yeah. That's it for the Game Pass games. Oh, Spirit of the North, you're a fox. So if you like if you like foxes, if you're feeling foxy, you want to find out what the fox says, play Spirit of the North.
Foxy grandpas or whatever.
Let's go. But Sony have also given us their PS Plus free games, monthly games for December. This one's a weird one. So we've got Lego 2K Drive, both the PS4 and PS5 versions. Mm. Power Wash Simulator, once again, both the PS4 and PS5 versions. And also Sable, which is an indie game that came out a couple of years ago. I think it's like an exploration and... sorry, I'm looking at a trailer now. Exploration and... maybe there's a little bit of, like, traversal and sort of platforming and stuff. I feel like I remember someone saying they really love this one. Was it someone from the Inconsolables? Ugh, I don't remember.
I feel like I've seen this game, yeah.
It looks interesting, though. The art style is this weird cell-shaded thing that they very similar to, like, Rollerdrome, that one that came out,
like,
last year, I think.
Yeah, super cell-shaded, yeah.
Yeah, it's got the weird art style. It looks really interesting. I'll probably check that one out because it was one I was interested in, but there was just so much stuff to play at the time, and I think it was not the cheapest at launch either.
No.
But yeah, Sable looks really interesting. I think I might check it out. Did any of those stand out to you, Anthony?
Yeah, this is actually one of the better PS Plus months, because ignoring 2K Drive, which, like, I don't really care. About that, I am interested in Power Wash Simulator because I've been seeing, you know, those videos of people playing. I'm like, God, that does look satisfying, just to, like, wash things away and see the dirt go away. Like, that makes my brain go brrr.
You're gonna pick it up? You're gonna play the PS5 version?
Oh yeah, I need to see the 4K soap textures going. And then Sable looks good too. Like, yeah, I remembered hearing about Sable from somebody, and I cannot remember who. But, like, yeah, both Power Wash and Sable, I think, are games I would actually pick up and play. So this is a good to decent month for PlayStation Plus for once.
Yeah, I don't mind it. Like, actually, I did play the demo for Lego 2K Drive on Switch, and it was on the Switch, so it was just a total absolute disaster. But I could see that the game might be kind of fun, so I'll probably actually download that one. You know, I was playing a little bit of Forza Horizon on Aaron's Series S, and yeah, the driving games are very chill. They have their place, but, you know, a Lego one where I think you can boost and stuff, it might be pretty fun. We're playing it on a console that isn't just a fucking potato. But yeah, but Power Wash Simulator, if it has an easy platinum, I might check it out. You know, I'll never oppose to an easy platinum trophy. You know what I mean? How hard could it be? I'm fucking spraying stuff with a fucking power washer.
Exactly.
Like, really. I wonder, it's funny, I wish they in Australia called it Gurney simulator or something like that. Yeah, that would have been good. Just a shout out to for us, you know. Whatever. Yeah. Whatever. I wonder if we can hose down a Hills Hoist clothesline in it. That'll be fun. And hopefully these will be fun. It's time to talk about the games coming up in the next week. I definitely wasn't just stalling so I could add them to the doc whilst we were recording. So we have coming up on December 5th, we have Blood West coming to PC, that's a game for Aaron if I've ever heard of one. Born of Bread. That's born of bread as in, not as in bread as in like breeding, bread as in like a piece of bread.
Yeah.
PC, PS5, Xbox Series X, and Nintendo Switch coming December 5th. That's an RPG. Disney Dreamlight Valley is finally getting its full release. That's coming to all platforms December 5th. It's no longer going to be a free-to-play game, so they're going to be charging for it now. Which, if what I played in Early Access was anything to go by, definitely not worth it. Fallout 76 Atlantic City expansion is coming to PC and Xbox Series X. I had no idea that they were still supporting that game. That is fucking wild to me. Sonic Dream Team is coming to mobile December 5th. It's an Apple Arcade exclusive. So sign up for Apple Arcade. I think they have a free trial available if you want to check out the latest Sonic game, I guess. Avatar Frontiers of Pandora is coming to PC, PS5, and Xbox Series X December 7th. Small Land Survive the Wilds is coming to PC, PS5, and Xbox Series X. And finally, Warhammer 40,000: Rogue Trader is coming to PC, PS5, and Xbox Series X. Anthony, any of those titles stand out to you?
The only one that actually does, I don't know if I'll play it, unfortunately, but Small Land looks interesting. I was looking up, it's like, I have no idea what the actual gameplay is going to be. It's survival, but I like the concept of it's just the regular world, except you're very small. So you're smaller than like a cricket. You're tiny. So it's like, I don't know. There is something there, I think. There is a concept there that means it's not just going to be another walk-around game where it's like I'm fighting giant monsters. Like, yeah, but the giant monsters are just an owl or a cricket or a frog. Like, that's... I don't know. There's an idea there that maybe is good. Because everything else on the list, I was like, I don't know. Like, Blood West, Born to Bread, Dreamlight Valley, no. It's like everything else, I'm going, no.
I haven't even looked up what Blood West is. I'm just going to send it to Aaron, just like the trailer, just based purely on the title, because it's probably going to be a game for him. Like, he loved Evil West, you know, and he loved that because it was gory. I'm sure Blood West is going to be more bloody than Evil West.
Maybe I think it's... Yeah, it looks like Evil West, but lower budget, I guess. I don't know. I don't know.
It's going to be like something completely off the wall that is nothing like what we're thinking. It's like some post-apocalyptic adventure game where everyone's women and they can only leave their houses once a month and they live in the Old West. Think about it. Anyway, out of those, to me, the only one that I'm actually going to be picking up is Avatar Frontiers of Pandora. Now, this is Ubisoft's Avatar game, and that's the blue people, not the airbendy people, this Avatar. The preview stuff all looks really cool. The main consensus we're seeing from people who have played it and whatnot is that this is very much Far Cry with a Avatar skin. I have found that Far Cry has gotten quite stale. Go back and listen to my coverage of Far Cry 6 to know how I feel about Far Cry as a franchise at this point. I guess just Ubisoft generally as a company, it seems to have run out of ideas for all of its major franchises. So maybe this new coat of paint being in the Avatar world is going to be refreshing enough that it's going to feel more like a Far Cry sequel or something, you know what I mean? Like, we're going to be flying on the backs of those avatar dragon things. We're going to be riding the horsey ones. We're going to be swimming and stuff. I don't know. It looks like it could be fun, and it's co-op as well too. So hopefully Hunter will be able to pick this one up with me, and we'll be able to play through it. But you mentioned that small land game, Anthony, and this game cracks me up. I don't know. It was probably before your time, but I know I'm sure you'll be familiar with it just because you're familiar with fucking everything in pop culture.
I am.
There was this weird time around the end of the 90s and the start of the 2000s, I think it was, where there was these very likewise movies that were coming out back to back. So there was Deep Impact and then something else where it had an asteroid hitting Earth. I forget the name of the other one. And then there was Ants and a Bug's Life.
Yeah.
Ants and a Bug's Life at the exact same time. I believe in the 2000s, there was like No Strings Attached and Friends with Benefits as well. There's like all these really like movies.
Yeah,
and I don't know if you're familiar with a game called Grounded.
Fuck, you're right.
But holy shit, it is the exact same concept as this small land.
I forgot about Grounded. You're right.
I work at a store what sells video games, and I saw the marketing come through for Small Land, and I saw it. I went, is this real? How have I never heard of this? And I looked it up, and surely enough, it's been in early access on Steam for a while. So it actually would have came out around the same time Grounded did as well too. But it just got me thinking back to when Ants and A Bug's Life came out at the exact same time, because they're both these games where you are fighting ants and bugs as these monsters and whatnot, and they came out around the exact same time as well.
Yeah, I completely forgot about Grounded. You're right. Well, oh my gosh,
made by Obsidian.
Yeah.
Oh, totally wild that this game even exists. I fucking love it, but holy shit, it's wild to me that Fallout 76 is still getting expansions as well.
I didn't know people still played that game, let alone they were developing content for it.
I thought it was a game for just small dogs at this point.
Mm. For just standing around. Oh, dear.
I say that the Warhammer games have just continued their tradition of trying to make their titles sound as boring as possible.
Yeah, Rogue Trader. Am I just a guy who stands around selling random assortments of items?
That's what I was thinking. It's just like, you know, a guy sets up a stall somewhere and someone's like, hey, you can't sell those here. And he's like, I'm a rogue. Beat it, buddy.
I'm a rogue. Hey, hey.
I'm selling stuff here. Hey.
Hey. I'm sure the Warhammer fans are going to come on our asses about, no. There's deep lore. The rogue traders are actually incredibly important to the world. Warhammer's too complicated. Like, not too complicated. It's actually too expensive for me. To call back to like the Street Fighter costumes. Do you want to pay unnecessary money for a slightly looking character? Play Warhammer. You're going to be spending a lot of money on minis that are slightly different from one another.
Oh, dearie me. I looked up Born of Bread. And it's a 2D game with this like cool animation. Like, okay, so it's a turn-based RPG and you're playing as like this cute little, looks like a, you know, Saturday morning cartoon kind of style looking thing. Kind of almost giving in the art style like Fairly Odd Parents or something, maybe.
Yeah, I was thinking very like early 2000s Nicktoons, late 90s Nicktoons or something.
Look, I could see this being cool if the writing's good and they do enough interesting stuff with the turn-based combat. But
yeah,
I don't know, the turn-based is, they've got to be doing some wacky shit to really get me with turn-based. It's got to be some so I know I'll be checking out the reviews for this one. I don't think I'll pick it up, but it definitely looks interesting.
Yes,
but that'll do us for the games coming up in the next week. It's time to talk about the games that we've been playing. Anthony, you are our guest and co-host, but I don't believe you've been playing anything this week. You have nothing to talk about, so...
Not enough, no.
It's my turn. Yeah, let's go. And I've been playing a game that very much, this was one of those ones where, you know, when a friend tells you to play a game and you're like, and they're like, dude, please just play it. It's really cool. Rah, rah. And you're like, all right, I'll play it, but it's really, I'm doing this for you. Aaron, this one was for you, my friend. you know, in the end, I had a pretty decent time. I went back in time once again, like I did last week with Sunset Overdrive, looking at Insomniac's history. This time, I was looking at Remedy's history, and I think I was extra curious about this one because, as we all know, Alan Wake 2 came out a few weeks ago, and that one's just been blowing people's brains out of their ears. And I had a fantastic time with Control. It was one of my favorite games of 2019, maybe only beaten by, I think that was the year Jedi Fallen Order came out. I think that was probably the only game I liked more than that. It was really, really cool game, Control. The PS5 version, even better. Playing that game at 60 frames, it's how it's supposed to be played. It is just absolutely fantastic. But I missed out on a Remedy game because it was an Xbox exclusive, and that one was Quantum Break. Now, I remember when Quantum Break came out, and all I remember is that it just fucking flopped. It did not do very well at all. And I didn't really look much into it. It was only on Xbox, and it was before I ever had the podcast, so I didn't really bother really delving any deeper as to why it was such a massive failure. I just kept enjoying all my wonderful first party Sony stuff that we were getting fed constantly. And yeah, Aaron absolutely loves it, raves about it a lot. And so it was like, you know, give it a go, try it out. You know, it's on Game Pass, and that it is. I had his Series S. I'm like, fuck it. Why not? Let's give it a go. And I have to say, I was pleasantly surprised by Quantum Break. So the whole conceit with Quantum Break, the reason of its existence, is actually quite a cool idea. So basically, the game is not just a game, it is also a TV show. So basically, you play about 2 hours of gameplay, then you'll get some kind of junction point where you play as the main antagonist and make a decision, and that will have an effect on how the TV show plays out, of which there are 4 episodes. So there's one at the end of every act except for the final act. So yeah, there's 4 episodes of the TV show, I believe. I'm pretty sure. Sorry, I played this a couple of weeks ago now, so I'm already struggling to remember the exact format of it. And the whole story is based around time. So at the very start of the story, they are using an experiment to go back in time. The experiment goes awry, and you are basically given time powers and dealt with the task of having to stop time from ending, because time, based on what this happened with this experiment, was about to end. And that's basically the end of all things, really. And you play as your character's named Jack, one of the most generic video game character names ever. But you are Sean Ashmore. He was in X-Men. I think he was was he the fire guy or the freezy guy?
No, he was Iceman, yeah.
Iceman, that's right. He was super cool, yeah. Iceman. Cool. He was in a few episodes of The Boys as well, too. He was Lamplighter in The Boys. So he was a flame person in one thing, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
And I got to say, for me, he was very hit and miss as a voice actor. There were some moments where he seemed to do well, but there was other moments where I don't know if he wasn't being directed well, but he just felt like he needed a lot more urgency in his voice based on the crazy shit that was happening around him. But some of the actors in this were really cool. Another one who probably the worst performance in the whole game was the villain, who is played by, I forget the name of the actor, but it's Lord Baelish from Game of Thrones. Littlefinger was back when he was like still super, super popular. He's doing an American accent and doing a very bad job of it. Just doesn't sound right. Super, super bizarre performance there. But holy shit, Lance Riddick is in this. And look, he doesn't have much to work with, but holy shit, every time he was on screen, I was just so happy. His delivery was always absolutely fucking amazing. And when you're playing the video game itself, it's pretty fun. I'm not the biggest fan of how Jack feels to control. It definitely feels like they refined things in the game control, because you're doing a lot of the similar gameplay elements here, but it just doesn't feel anywhere near as smooth. There's this weird sort of jank to how Jack controls, which is a shame because the powers that you have are actually really cool. So you can use your time to dash. So you do like this cool like time dash, which if you get close to an enemy, it will sort of knock them back. And you have, if you aim right away, you have like a few seconds of slow-mo to shoot them while you're aiming. Very cool mechanic, very satisfying to use. You can hit R1 to slow down time, which I think they did have that in control. You could slow down enemies and whatnot, which you could slow down a certain area, which was really cool to do. You could basically slow down time in an area, an enemy will be stuck there. You can load it up with bullets, and then when time goes back to normal, those bullets fly out and hit the enemy all at once, and then you take them out in one go.
That does sound really cool, yeah.
Really cool idea and really satisfying to do. If you hold R1, you can do a time bomb, which basically just does an explosion, but everything kind of gets frozen in place. So it doesn't make much sense to how that works, but it's cool, so I don't give a shit. Mm-hmm. It's fucking awesome. You can stop bullets as well, too, with like a time shield. There's probably other stuff I'm forgetting that you can do as well, too. I think there was some other kind of attack you could do, but yeah, those powers in conjunction with running around and shooting was a lot of fun. You even had a little bit of the Max Payne feels where the last person you'd kill, it would zoom in on them and it would go in slow-mo for a little bit. And it's funny, this game, because the actual game itself is good, it's decent, but it feels like it's held back by them wanting to also make it a TV show.
Yeah.
The TV show side of it is bad. It is really, really bad. So if you want to play it now with the TV show, the servers aren't up for it anymore. So you have to download the entire show onto your console. The show on its own is 70 gigs. Ooh. It is more than the size of the actual game itself. So if you have an Xbox Series S, I had to delete everything else off the console in order to be able to fit the game on there. It is absolutely huge, and it's definitely not worth downloading those those things, because it just, you could see they had really good actors, but the writing, while it may work for a video game, which are already, I think video games generally have a bit of a thing where they're writing where it's, you know, it can be quite campy across a lot of games. It's not many games I would say have really, really good writing. And when you see that in a TV show, it stands out even more. We've got some shows these days with some really, really quality writing, and it definitely didn't feel that way with the Quantum Break TV show. As I said, the actors all do a great job. Every time I saw Lance Riddick, I was like, fanboying out. But yeah, it's the special effects are bad. There's two stories that are going on in the TV show. There's the one with all the good actors, which has like Lance Riddick and Lord Baelish and Sean Ashmore and all that. And then there's another story going on with these three actors I've never seen in anything before, will probably never see in anything again, that was just a total waste of time, had no effect on the overall overarching story. They probably focused on those characters maybe a little bit more than the other characters in the TV show. I'm guessing they could only afford those really good actors for so much time. So it feels like if they wanted to, it's a cool idea, but it feels like if they wanted to pull this off, they'd need like $200 million minimum.
Because
the game they were trying to make was already like a game that, if they were just making a game, would be a AAA high budget video game. But the show that they were trying to make as well too needed that bigger budget as well. Very cool idea. It was just such a lofty goal that I think without just an insane budget and the know-how from both industry sides, they just didn't really have a chance of pulling it off. And by the time I actually finished the game, I felt very underwhelmed by the ending. The final sort of boss fight, I guess you could call it, was just really shit. It kind of felt like it came to an abrupt ending. There were things that were left not dealt with, which don't really jive much with the greater overall story. They do some cool stuff with time, I will admit. They probably handle time better than most TV shows and stuff, in that, okay. I don't know, that. I better not say anything because it probably will spoil it in case people do want to check it out. I would say if you love Remedy and you really want to take a look back at their history and want to play a pretty decent video game with some really cool ideas, then definitely check out Quantum Break. I had a fun time with it. There's these sequences where these massive cinematic events are happening, like a boat going through a bridge that didn't draw up in time, but time Ooh. Keeps stopping and reversing and moving at different rates. Ooh. So everything's happening at different times. Some of that stuff was really, really cool, but it was sort of few and far in between and wasn't executed as well as it probably could have been if they weren't spending so much time on doing a TV show. So I'd say if you just don't download the TV show, skip all that shit, and just play the video game, you're probably going to have a solid enough time. You know, it's not going to blow your mind, but I think you will have fun. You probably get it done in like 6-7 hours or something too. It's not a super, super long game. Like maybe like 8 or 9 maximum. But yeah, I'd probably have to give this 6 Sean Ashmores out of 11 Lord Baelishes. Mm. Not something I'd say you have to play. But yeah, if you're a fan of Remedy and you want to see a trip down memory lane, see their history and see some really cool ideas that might not fully come to fruition, then yeah. Check out Quantum Break.
From what you're telling me, it seems, yeah, their aspirations or their goal was way outside the reach of what they could afford at the time, because you'd need like Disney or Amazon money to make this work, which is, all right, throw like, yeah, as you said, like $200 million at this. It's like, so that way the game division has enough money and the TV division has enough money, because, yeah, when you're trying to make a AAA game and even a good TV show, sorry, even like a decent TV show requires a lot of money. It's obviously you can't do like Game of Thrones episodes where it's like, oh no, that's too much money. But even like shows that where you're like, oh, this shouldn't cost that much, it's like it costs a lot of money to make a TV show, and you can't just scrounge on the budget to like make something. So yeah, it's again, interesting concept, but yeah, I can see why the budget and all that wouldn't have worked across both mediums very well.
Absolutely. I got to say, playing it though and finishing it has just endeared me more to Remedy, because, you know, say what you want about some of their games, they may not all hit, but Remedy really innovates and they actually have creative ideas, and they're not just, you know, recycling an IP and just doing shit over and over again. I'm excited to play Alan Wake 2. It sounds really, really cool. And I'm probably going to check out whatever Remedy puts out in the future. I really appreciate how they're willing to try new things and take some really, really big swings. We know Control 2's coming. Control 2's being worked on right now, and it's got more than double the budget of the previous Control. So I'm really curious to see what they're going to do with that one, particularly after Alan Wake 2, which was in the exact same universe. So yeah, I don't know, I'm a bit all about Remedy at the moment. I'm digging them as a developer. They're starting to become like one of my favorites, I think.
Yeah, it's as you say, it's cool to see a developer actually take a risk. Mm. And even if it doesn't pay off, they just go, okay, that didn't work, we're going to try something else and see if that works. And yeah, they are willing to take the risk of something new in each game, and it seems to work out very well for them, because they just keep trying and learning, and now they've gone to the point where, yeah, apparently Alan Wake 2 is some sort of masterpiece of a, like survival horror or investigative game and just, okay, got to check it out now, I guess.
In an industry where we are just drowning in every single game developer and game, big publisher and AAA game in just the most safe decisions, you know, stuff that they do everything based on knowing how that they can market it and that everyone's going to like it. Whereas Remedy, they seem to have a creative idea and a creative goal in their mind, and they set out to do that. And if it sells as well, awesome.
Pretty much,
Quantum Break's case, they didn't nail it with that one there, unfortunately for them. But yeah, I very much appreciate what they were trying to do. That's for sure. Definitely. Yeah. Like, I hope our audience appreciates what we're trying to do here with News to Reviews, and that'll do us for News to Reviews for another week. Anthony, thanks so much for jumping on and not only guesting, but also co-hosting the show. It's always fun talking about all the gaming news with you.
Absolutely. It's always fun to be on. Always glad to, you know, jump in for an episode and help out. And yeah, it was a fun one. Fun one this week.
It really was. It was all just like wacky, silly stories for the most part.
Oh, yeah.
No depression sandwiches this week.
No, yeah. No, like, oh, God, it's happening again.
Deary me, now please remind the peeps where they can find your wonderful podcast, which is getting an episode soon.
New episode up hopefully next week. You can find everything I do with my co-host Jaden over at What Do You Think About This Podcast. It's on your Apples, your Amazon, your Spotify. You can also find us on the Twitter, again, if it's not already burned to the ground, at WDYTATPod. Hit us up if you want to be on an episode, if you want us to be on one of your episodes, or if you just want to talk to us about stuff. We're always there for a good chat.
Oh, yes. And while you're down there looking at those links of Anthony's, you'll find all of News to Reviews links there. Now that Movember is over, we'll be begging for ratings and reviews once again. We haven't had a rating or review since back in May of this year, thanks to the wonderful Yo Adrian. So please, peeps, if you can, be like Adrian. It's free. It only takes a moment to leave us a rating or review, and it really does help us get out there. We're still just a very, very tiny podcaster with a very small listener base, and it definitely helps us get in the ears of more peeps. And not only that, if I see one of those reviews, it makes me feel oh so good. Oh so good. Keeps me off drugs, you know what I mean? Like, I chase that high instead of the high of drugs, so... If you want to keep me off drugs, please keep leaving ratings and reviews. That's the best way that you can help me out. That's for sure. Anthony, any final words of wisdom for our listeners this week?
Yeah, just to follow up, you said, chase that high in anywhere you can in your life, I guess. be it a rating or a review, literal drug use. Just chase that high. Whatever works, I guess.
The only getting high you should be doing is seeing how high you can fly those planes up in GTA 5. That's it. That's the only getting high I would recommend.
Remember, gamers, only losers use drugs or whatever it was from their 90s.
That's it. That's it. And everyone out there, please, take care of yourselves. And take care of one another. Today we had just all of the trailers.
get released. Side note.
So
holy shit, everything's coming out.
So peeps, if you want to know what's happening next year on TV, there's like a House of the Dragon trailer. There's the Boys season 4 trailer as well. There's the trailer for the Fallout Amazon show that's also coming next year. On Tuesday, 9 a.m. Eastern time, I think, EST.
Oh, there's also...
I think it is.
New Halo show. New Halo season apparently got a trailer.
There you go.
Didn't even know that was a thing.
9 a.m. on Tuesday. The GTA 6 trailer is finally dropping. We're going to get our first official look. We've already seen it in leaks and like dodgy shit. We're going to get our first actual official look from Rockstar of GTA 6. That's right. Bill Clinton is finally going to get his wish.
Yes. Finally, I can play GTA 6. It's all I've ever wanted. God damn it. That boy, he was doing God's work for me.